podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
If you want interesting and entertaining debate on the Premier League and other English leagues, but from a show that doesn't take itself too seriously, then check out The Whistleblowers. It's a weekly football podcast hosted by me. I used to play football, Martin Gritton, stand-up Mark Smith when he can, and music manager Gareth Dobson, who always has plenty of good chat, being a Spurs fan. We basically get football writers in to have a chat as well, and we talk about the stories that matter in English football, whether it's on the pitch or off it. It's free to listen to iTunes, Acast, Spotify, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Or you can download the Whistleblowers app. Follow us on Twitter at Football Podcast. Cheers.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Manchester United Redcast. As if you thought life couldn't get any shitter after an international break, we went and beat West Brom 1-0 on a fucking penalty. It was boring. Barding United. Let's introduce our panel. None of them have been in straight-to-DVD movies either that I may or may not know about. Who should we go for
first? Speak for yourself, mate.
Let's go for my big brother, Ben Poole, my handsome, more handsome, eloquently spoken, virile brother, Ben Poole.
I'd love people to see us standing neck to back to back. Just check out the similarities. Hello, my friend, my brother from another lover. I'm trying to be optimistic this week, but after that performance, it was dire. We're not talking Danny Dyer. That was just awful. But I don't want to take too much attention to me, because we've got two other esteemed guests in waiting.
Yeah, Dan Riley. Dan doing your tax return, Riley. How you going, pal?
Yeah, okay.
HM. I'd love that to be your nickname from now on in.
Dan doing your tax return, Riley. knee deep in Morrison's receipts.
Or you don't know how close you are to the truth.
Well, it's not a Morrison's, it's a Sainsbury's where you are, I presume. No, Sainsbury's? What's your...
It is. It would be a Sainsbury's. It would be a Sainsbury's.
Mate, if for me this year, it's fucking Poundland and Aldi. Yeah, that's cool.
I have been known to go to Aldi, but because since the lockdown, we get... And my mother-in-law lives with us. She's elderly. And so we get top of the list. We get the priority on the deliveries.
This is gripping.
So, yeah. Oh, mate, where I live out in the Royal Borough.
You're going to edit this out, right? You're going to edit this out.
Right, good shit.
It doesn't do any editing.
Where I live in the Royal Borough, we have this guy, and he's known.
Oh, Kensington.
What? No, Royal Borough of Windsor and Maidenhead, mate. Yeah, we can hear the Queen fart around here. Yeah, they built a Lidl, and there's this geezer. He drives a proper tankard of a Jag XF. Turns up in shooting gear, all barbers and wax jackets. What does he do? He turns up to Lidl and pulls out Waitrose bags. You know, those proper nice cloth Waitrose bags, and walks into Lidl and does his shopping. And I heard him one day talking to someone. He goes, "Oh, well, if friends ask, I just go to a German delicatessen. I don't give a..."
That's brilliant. That's brilliant.
One man who just his diet is just consumed by canned food is Andrew Mann. You're up, pal.
Canned food. So the opposite.
Yeah.
I haven't got a can opener anyway, but if I did, I'm
sorry. I'm open with you.
It's not canned food, it's the opposite. It's canned drink.
yes, that's more like it. Yeah.
Surrounded by 300 cans of Stella, which are all open. It just doesn't know which one's full or not. It's like roulette with a can of Stella. Right, but do you know what I actually used to do that? I used to play a game with myself, with bottles of water in the middle of the night. I'd stack up a load of bottles, loads of random bottles of water, and I'd drink a load. And then in the middle of the night when you need a drink, I'd get up and I'd just try and locate the bottle without knocking one over. It was a very, very sad game. That's why I don't have a wife. Anyway, moving on. United won, West Bromwich Albion 0 at the weekend. It was shit. Absolute shit. Bruno Fernandes double took a penalty. Put it this way, my old man said he saw what happened with the penalty and then just fell asleep afterwards. He couldn't be bothered. He goes, it was that bad. First home win of the season. First home goal since 324 minutes of football in the Premier League.
Dubious goal. I wouldn't even call it a goal. The only time we've scored at home was on the first day of the season with Donny van der Beek. Mm. And that's our first time in open play at home. just think about it.
He doesn't get a full game, Ben. So, you know.
No, that's a whole different story, that.
Yeah. I mean, it was, I don't even know where to sort of start with this. Literally, I come out of the international break just waiting for football, going, dear Lord, high up in the sky, give me something I actually want to watch. And they serve up that tripe. What a load of shit. I just don't understand. And this weekend, I'm going to be honest with you, boys. I'm going to be honest with you. This weekend is the weekend I'm sat and I'm thinking, something's not right with Ollie. Either they're not playing for him, he's not playing for them, someone's not playing for another. You know, what is the next logical solution right now for Manchester United? Because I don't even know. We've got some worrying games coming up. I mean, the only thing I can say is, and fair play, City are below us. City are below us, and no one's giving Pep shit. But I don't know what we need to do now going forward. I'm really very confused.
My conclusion of what happened this weekend is this. I think that where Ollie had to come out and following the break and following our sort of, you know, our poor start so far, he had to come out all guns blazing. And unfortunately, he's come out with the handbrake on, because I think he's caught now between going for it, well, yeah, and caution. And I think he's becoming cautious because he's worried about getting the boot. When, if you think about it, he might as well just go for it, because the vultures are circling, and the more he plays, the more we play like we did on Saturday, the closer that's going to come. I just found that it's just such a overly cautious side to put out.
I totally agree with you, Dan.
Why is Juan Mata still starting games? It just beggars belief to me.
Why is he starting?
He's the only one with a football brain. He might not have the legs anymore, but he's the only one that intelligent.
But he does. But games completely passing by, Drew. Games completely passing by. How is Donny van de Beek? I'm now convinced.
I agree
that Ole Solskjaer did not want van de Beek, because absolutely. How has he not?
I've been speaking to people, listening to rumours. I think it's true. I don't think he wanted van de Beek. Mike Phelan says they don't know where to play him. Mike Phelan says that he could actually be a second striker. He could play up front.
What the fuck? Mate, come on.
That's what Mike Phelan
said. Why are they playing Nemanja Matic? They're playing Nemanja Matic and Fred, a.k.a. Brazilian Fellaini, against a side who haven't won a game all season. It's overly fucking cautious. It's so mind-numbing. This is a game we should be winning 3-4. Now, the problem is, yeah, this is the problem we've got. We're going to sit here on this podcast and criticise. People on social media are going to turn around to us and go, well, Fergie won game shit. You know, granted, there were some games, mate. I remember playing like Stoke at home, Middlesbrough at home, where we actually didn't play very well, and we scraped over the line, a 1-0, a 2-1, something like that. But the difference is, you always knew in a Fergie team that we had the opportunity and we had the potential to switch it on against other teams. Yeah, in this situation, I'm shitting myself every game I go into. Istanbul, Başakşehir at home. What the fuck are we going to do there? We'll probably get a 0-0 or something like that.
We'll win 1-0, and it'll be a non-credible team that will play, and they look like they don't want to fucking play as usual.
This is we alternate. We alternate good performances, don't we? I mean, that performance against Everton was pretty damn good. Harry Maguire, I thought that was the making of him. He was the best man on the pitch.
Harold, yeah.
This one was pedestrian. It was unambitious. It was ponderous. We were dropping way too deep. We should have been pushing him so much higher up the pitch. The two defensive midfielders, for fuck's sake, one of those should have been Van der Beek. It's a shoo-in, but I think he's not impressing in training. I think there is something about Van der Beek that's
pissed off, like. I would have
thought. Oh, yeah, but he's Dutch. He spends half his life being pissed off, but there's something, he's not quite cutting it.
That's a sign of being middle class right there, a Ring video doorbell, mate.
You heard that, did you? But coming back to what Drew was saying in the pre-match, in our pre-match banter, Liverpool are without arguably their best players. They're half a defence short, and they still walk over Leicester 3-0. Their new signing, Jota, scores a goal again.
Yeah.
I think
you know what they're doing now. Go on, sorry.
The Liverpool example is a good one, because I'm not comparing them with United, but what I would say the major difference between Liverpool and United is that Liverpool have a fixed way of playing.
Yes.
What we have a sort of number of different ways of playing that we kind of seem to want to wheel out for different games. And it's holding us back, because it means that we can't create an identity. You know, he's going to go for the diamond, he's going for the 4-3-3, he's going for the 4-2-3-1. Well, he's got to pick a way of playing and stick with it, because the chopping and changing and personnel changing here, there, and changing the holders and this, that, and the other. I mean, I know there's rotation and everything, but in order to get on a system, I think he needs to keep with a team. And I just don't think it's there. And the what you said about Phelan not knowing what Van der Beek's position is, how do you spend £60 million on a footballer and not know where you want to play him?
It was only about 30 million, 35 million.
What was it?
Which is pittance these days. But if you put a Fred and a Van der Beek together, you got 85 million. You could have bought the best midfielder in the world, probably. We're doing what City always used to do. You spend like smallish sums of money on average players, and if you add them all up, you just could have bought two or three world class players.
Let's take a pause. I mean, we'll take a quick break and then we'll come back, because I think the issue about identity is what's really concerning United right here. It's the Manchester United Red Cards. We're sort of deciphering it all. We're back in a minute. Catch you on the other side.
If you want an e-bike that doesn't look like it's made for the shopping precinct, something that's less Mr. Bean and more Steve McQueen, check out the range of bikes from London-based Cooler King. From dope 250-watt city bikes to Harley Bobber-inspired 750-watt beasts that can tear your face off while leaving your smile intact. Cooler Kings are made in limited numbers, yet highly affordable. Check them out now on the web at cooler.bike, or find them on Instagram with hashtag CoolerKingBike. Cooler.bike. E-bikes that are cool AF.
Welcome back, ladies and gents, to the Manchester United Redcast. My name's Aaron Paul. I've got with me Ben Paul, Andrew Paul, and Dan Riley. Paul, also known as the tax man. Anyway, guys, identity is a word I wanted to pick up, because obviously, you know, I think it was Dan who made the point, which I was literally going to make, which is under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, we don't know what we're playing. Liverpool have an identity. Man City have an identity, the way they play. Sheffield United, you know, Chris Wilder is sort of, you know, get rich or die trying with his identity. He's not going to change that three at the back, the overlapping centre-halves, even though they're bottom of the league. He won't change his way. With us, we're so jumbled up, we're so mixed up, that we don't actually know what we're doing. So my question to you boys is, if Mauricio Pochettino is the man who comes in, and by the way, he's been linked with Inter Milan as well this weekend, if he is the man who comes in, will he give us a set identity to play off and give us the time to adapt to that identity properly and sort of push forward with it?
No. Well, identity, some would say it's tactics. You can't play the same way against different opposition. That's my thought.
Anyone else?
Well, we did. I mean, it's more about not worrying what the opposition is doing and just asserting your own given way of playing. I'm not denying, Ben, you make a good point about changing your tactics, but I think it's just that I think we seem to be changing ours too often and not allowing the team to develop any kind of pattern of play. I mean, it's been like that really since you know, Fergie. I mean, it's like in under every manager. I mean, Van Gaal kind of developed you know, that kind of
philosophy, you know,
he called pass the hell out of it.
Philosophy.
But I thought we had struck upon something in the early days of Solskjaer, where we were kind of, we were a kind of counter-attacking side. And I think he's tried to, it was almost like we got tainted by that. You know, it's like Manchester United can't be a counter-attacking side. And I just wonder whether he could have developed that further and evolved the team from what was a good way of getting results, you know, and scoring goals. It seems it is that age old thing as well we seem to have, which is just if teams won't come at us, we just don't really seem to be able to get at them. And I think that was part of the problem on Saturday, is that if you don't start, you often hear pros say this, don't you, that about being at it. And if you're not at it from the get-go in a game, it's quite hard to get that to get going. And apart from that lovely move where Martial should have scored, we didn't really put anything together, did we?
He looks like he's pissed off again, doesn't he?
You can't tell if he's coming or going, though. That's the problem.
Rashford looks like he's pissed off every time he gets the ball.
I think they are pissed off because they're not getting the service. I think the problems lie deep, and I think the midfield is a big problem. We're ponderous. We're holding on to the ball, far too long. Liverpool take one touch, Henderson and Wijnaldum take one touch, then pass it because they know they've got an electric front three. I think identity, we've got a very similar identity to Liverpool. We can play that way. If we have two defensively minded midfielders, then bring the rest of the attacking minded midfielders into the game. Get your wing backs pressing like Trent Alexander.
You need wing backs who are actually going to do a job, though, Ben. You need
Telles will be doing that.
Wan-Bissaka, I love him, but he can't put a cross in. His end product is very, very poor. You know, we've had 6 years of Luke Shaw, who has finally, you know, managed to get himself a goal and assist. But, you know, we've had 6 years of shit from Luke Shaw. So until we sort out the basics and we find, forget leaders on the pitch. I think Andrew was piping up about leaders on the pitch. We need leaders in the dressing room. We need Ole Gunnar Solskjaer to go, this is how we're going to do it. This is how it's going to stay. Fucking like it or lump it. Like Van Gaal did. And the problem, Van Gaal's biggest downfall was he came in, played a 4-3-3, then went to three at the back, then back to a 4-3-3, and then he just lost it. He lost it fully. He completely lost it and was like, just basically do what you can. And let's be fair, he wasn't playing football from November of that year to when he got sacked. Because every other week, instead of focusing on the football, the media and the press and fucking social media were just on him about getting sacked. Every week, the press were turning around to him going, are you going to get sacked? Are you going to get sacked? The poor bastard wasn't left alone. And the way we handled it was a shambles. Mourinho came in, but Mourinho's tactics are more about players. With Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, right now, I don't know what his best formation is. I don't know what his best lineup is. I don't know who his key players, apart from Bruno Fernandes, in that lineup is. He doesn't know what his best back four is. He doesn't know what his best back two is. He doesn't know what his best holding midfield two is. He doesn't know what his best front three is. Is it Greenwood? Is it Rashford? Is it Martial? Is it Dan James? Is it Juan Mata? He hasn't got a fucking clue. That's the sad thing about it. I love him, but I don't know if... I think he'll last... For me, I think back-to-back defeats and he's gone. Back-to-back defeats in any game, he's gone. They're waiting for two defeats. That's all they're waiting for.
But they know
City will go for Poch. They don't give a shit. City have given Guardiola a new contract. It means nothing. These people, you know, paying them off, you know, 10 million quid or something like that, it's pocket change. It's absolute pocket change. They'll go for Poch if they have to.
But won't they?
They won't go for Poch.
100% they won't.
Won't they give him the thing where he's got till we mathematically can't qualify for the Champions League? Won't they stick with that?
That allows them to pay a manager off on one season. So every United manager after Fergie has had this thing written in where if they don't qualify for the Champions League mathematically, they can be sat on a one-year payout. That's why David Moyes, he got a six-year deal, but he was paid off in 1 year. He was paid off one year's payout.
Mourinho got paid off 30 million when he got sacked at United.
But we qualified. He was mid-season.
Yeah.
It was mid-season.
30 million.
Yeah, it was mid-season.
Yeah, but if you think about it, that's just a Lindelof.
I'm going to start watching Berry again. Did you watch that program last night about Berry? I used to play for him when I played for the youth team, which was Marauders at the time. And
was your career cruelly stopped by the wardrobe?
I got shrapnel in my knee one day. I got taken out.
But looking around that Europe this week,
that 6-year hiatus really did for your football career, didn't it?
Yeah.
So anybody been looking around Europe this week?
Talk about don't head the ball. We used to nut each other before we went on.
Bloody hell! has anyone been looking around Europe this week? What should I have been looking for apart from Istanbul Başak Şehir up?
The greatest player that we've never had isn't Shearer. It's going to be Haaland, who scored 4 at the weekend.
My God!
Mkhitaryan is on incredible form. Him and Smalling are running the team at Roma. But weirdly, Barcelona, Inter, United City, we're all over the place. Barca having sacked a really successful manager, lying 10th. Inter and 8th. City, loving that one, below us. It looks like we're not the only huge club going through turmoil, except ours seems to be every single year.
Listen, you guys must have blinkers on. Because City are not in problem. City aren't having a problem. All the City having a problem out at the moment is not putting it in the back of the net. They will buy someone. They won't fuck around and say they're going to buy someone and then not buy them. They will buy someone before the January window and City will be back in the top 4. So, it just shows how shite United are. It really
How much do you reckon Haaland would cost right now?
Haaland's not going to come. His old man was a blue. He played for City.
Exactly.
And Keno broke his leg. So they ain't going to come. He ain't going to come there. That's the reason he's not going to United.
If you had any player that didn't like Keno,
probably go to City.
Yeah, that's the problem. Haaland, it was written in the stars that we were never going to get him. It's probably the same with Sancho. That one I don't regret too much because he's not really, pulling around for Dortmund at the moment. But who could we buy that will turn our fortunes around? Because we are so reliant on Bruno.
I don't think it's a case of buying someone now. I don't think it's a case of buying someone. We needed a fucking centre-half and they messed around trying to get Jadon Sancho, that they failed to see that we need cover at centre-half, a good centre-half who's going to partner, Harry Maguire. Is Bailly injured, by the way? Just out of interest. Yeah. Is Bailly injured?
Yeah, of course he is.
Yeah, Bailly's injured. Fuck that. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was talking about Phil Jones in the presser the other day. He's talking about Phil Jones. Phil Jones didn't even register for the Premier League.
How's Phil Jones injured? What did he do?
Why are you talking about Phil Jones when he's not even registered for the Premier League? He's not even registered to play. And he's talking about Phil Jones. He's talking about Marcos Rojo coming back in. I'm sorry. This
poor, isn't it? It's poor.
I'm really, really worried. I'm looking at people. People are talking about Arteta and how they're sort of below us and how he's doing well. I don't know. People are talking about Pep below us as well. And I don't know. People are saying that Solskjaer gets a lot of bad press and because it's Manchester United, he will always get abused. I don't know. I just don't know how he's gonna turn this one around. I really, 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 really am worried for him. I love him. I will always love him. But there's something not right. And I'm telling you, let us lose 2 games. We lose 2 games, they'll go for him. They'll salvage.
So we need a good tactician that's great with people, player management. Manager.
Doctor who?
Yeah. Is Pochettino that man?
Doctor Evil, mate. I think so.
I've been saying about the last 10 years with you guys, it's the board. There's nothing's going to change.
Everyone knows
nothing's going to change. Get those lot out. Nothing is going to change.
Aaron, I'm just going to go round.
United are a merry-go-round.
Aaron, I'll just go back to what you said about the 2 defeats. That as poor as we have been playing, I think that the slight difference this season is that the paucity of other teams as well means that if we do win the game in hand we've got, we're only 4 points off the top position. I mean, that's not to say we're going to challenge for the top, but it means that if we put three wins on the bounce, it really is a half full, half empty situation. That the way the league is.
The problem
Dan, did you watch the Liverpool game yesterday?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I know what you mean, Drew. But
you wouldn't what be I'm saying that, is mate. That
they're a league of their own.
Of course,
I can't see anyone beating Liverpool.
Fair. But can you see us? I mean, look, our next games, we got Bashakshire at home, Southampton away. Southampton have been brilliant this season. Yeah. You know, they've been absolutely brilliant this season. I'm worried about that. PSG at home, worried about that. West Ham away. You know what? Yeah. They're shit. But Moyes would love to do a job on us. Oh, he'd love to do a job on us. Leipzig away, and then City at home. You know, City at home is going to be dodgy. We've got some really, really dodgy games coming up, boys. Some really dodgy games coming up. And granted, we may be able to sort of, you know, climb up the league. I agree. But the vitriol that will spew on social media, and how the club look at their social media and look at what people say, and they really do, believe me, they do, will dictate a lot of things, you know, and I can't even trust these players to put in the performances. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I can't do it. Should we look at the Champions League tomorrow? The champions. Başakşehir, Istanbul, Başakşehir, and the return of Demba Ba. Do you think that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer will have like watched that clip like, over and over and over and over and over again and said to his players, boys, like, what the fuck? That's it.
Schoolyard, wasn't it? Schoolyard football.
I mean, back in 1941, you were defending better than that, weren't you?
Boy, you watch it.
I mean, it's a must-win game. Otherwise, all those like the incredible victories over PSG would be for nothing. It's an absolute must-win. I'd love him to start Cavani from now on in. Do you see the movement that player had when he came on for 10, 20 minutes? He showed you what it was all about.
Don't rate him.
Right, there you go. I'd love him to start with Cavani. You can still, you know, stick Martial out on one wing, Rashford on the other, but he deserves a start now. He could teach the kids a thing or two. And start with Van der Beek. Just give it a go. It's the kind of game that is made for those players.
Anyone else? Dan? Dan, are you about?
I think the mystery to me is that we can be so poor and not giving a regular start to Donny. I think I wouldn't be surprised if Cavani starts, if only to give, you know, Martial a bit of a breather. I just don't think at the moment we just know what the best, you know, what the best side formation is. Will Pogba be back?
I hope not.
we shall see. I think we'll get the win.
What about Southampton, boys? That's a worrying one. Part of me is glad we're going to not in Aaron, the Forest on Sunday.
I'm never worried about Southampton.
No?
I'm not going to be worried about Southampton. The last time, although my dad, bless him, did lose a lot of money to his father-in-law in 1976. I'm gonna go with the positive. I'm gonna go positive here. I'm gonna go for two wins.
Fair.
I don't know why.
Yeah. I'm gonna go for two wins,
and I'm gonna go for Cavani to be on the sheet on both games.
Hmm.
What, to play or score?
To score. He's gonna start tomorrow. And I think he might keep his place for the weekend.
Drew, do you seriously not rate him?
No. I think it was a shirt buy. He's still got, you know, he's like a racehorse, isn't he? You know, he'll put in a few
sort of nice little moves and stuff like that. And then he'll kick someone.
But by the way,
he is a good footballer. He was a good footballer. I just don't think he's got it anymore.
I think word has it from Carrington, he's training brilliantly, and the kids are really paying attention to it.
Talking about big number nines that haven't lost it quite yet. Did you see what a certain Zlatan Ibrahimovic did yesterday?
Fantastic. We should have kept him.
He's what is he now? 39? 39? 40?
No, he's not that old. He's about 36.
Two goals, and they're top of Serie A.
Yeah, who was he at? Inter?
No, AC.
AC.
He's back at AC, isn't he?
Yeah.
Hey, he's 39.
Okay. But he's still better than Cavalli anyway. So
39 years of age.
Yeah, every game. Remember when we got him? He scored every bloody game. He was like, you know, you couldn't get more from a player. He got the dressing room together. He got them all, you know, charged up. And he'd score every game, every hard game.
There you go. Cavani's the new Zlatan. Yeah. Think positively.
Anyway, in more positive news, in alternative news, not positive, has anyone else seen the clip of the Preston North End player grabbing the Sheffield Wednesday player by the bollocks?
I beg your pardon.
By the meat and two veg, by the Hampton. Anyone?
No. Yeah, I don't know what sort of channels you've been watching, Aaron.
Red Ox Sky Sports Edition. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. Put it this way, the FA are going in for like a pucker investigation, aren't they?
No.
Pucker investigation into it. Anyway, gents, let's wrap this one up. Let's have some pre-dolls ahead of tomorrow night's game. Manchester United taking on Istanbul Başakşehir at Old Trafford. How's it going to go, boys?
Oh, I think I'm saying 3-0 as well. There'll have to be a Turkish-owned goal. We'll score a penalty, and then we'll probably score a free kick. There won't be anything in open play.
Boys. Anyone else? 3-0?
2-0 United. It'll be boring us in.
And then we're back on box on Sunday. Southampton away.
We'll get beat at Southampton.
You reckon?
Yeah. 2-0.
Danny, it depends on Danny Ings plays. He's injured, isn't he? Danny Ings is injured. I don't think we'll get beat. I think we might narrowly win it there, you know. It worries me, and I don't think it'll be a classic performance because
we've had some hard games with Southampton a lot of times down there.
I think it's the jet lag that gets us.
Yeah. We do play better away from home, so I'm still going 2-0 to Southampton.
I thought you were going to say it's because we go via boat and it takes about 60 days to get there. They go all the way out, down through the ship canal, all the way back round and then down.
No, they've got to get the National Express from Chawton Street bus station.
I've heard the Glazers stick them on the mega bus.
Yeah. That's it. Make them pay for their own Wi-Fi.
Yeah. I'll teach them when they're too busy on the phones, aren't they? You know,
you could probably get them all on one clipper card.
Yeah,
probably. Right, gangsters. Thank you very much for joining me. Thank you. Once again to Dan Riley, Ben. Paul, Aaron Paul's me, Paul, there's no relation, and to Andrew the angry man.
Thank you.
What you got planned for today, Andrew?
Huh?
What are you doing today?
What am I doing today? I'm getting more angry about United.
Drinking beer.
I'm gonna read you all a little quiz question before.
Oh yeah! Yeah. Okay, we got 3 minutes to do it. I forgot Andrew's quiz of the week. Andrew, go, let's have it.
Right. I'm not going to read that one.
Fuck yeah.
What year did United win their first Premier League title?
92-93,
correct. One more, just before we go. Who scored the goal of the decade on the opening day of the season against
David Beckham?
Yeah.
I was there for the first away game.
He didn't win goal of the season that year. Didn't Trevor Sinclair win it?
Oh, for his goal for QPR.
Yeah.
Queen's Park Racing. I was there. That was my first away game, you know, Wimbledon away.
Who scored the other two goals that day, Aaron? Can you remember that?
Oh.
Because I was there as well.
All I remember is like sliding through the wooden seats.
David Beckham, Wimbledon. I can't even remember.
Cantona and Irwin.
There you go. There you go. The king. The king, yeah. and Dirty Den. Any more questions from you, Andrew? Any?
Yeah, I'm sure I can. I've got a.
Let's have a couple more. We've got less than a minute. So go on, one more. Go on, fire it, son.
Name the former United player who finished their playing career at Fort Lauderdale Strikers in 2016.
Jesus.
No, he wasn't there.
Dong Fang Zhuo.
Makeda.
No, this is a classic because he never played. He never played for United. He was shite. Kleberson.
Bloody hell! Right, we'll leave it on that, gents. The call's about to end. Thank you very much, boys. Thank you. Catch you next week. Love you a long time. See you later. Come on, United.
Take care. Come on, you Reds.
Wasn't that a great podcast? Now, if you've got 90 seconds spare in your day, come and listen to ours. It's called What Has He Said Now? And is available wherever you got this podcast.
You're going to lose a number of people to the flu.
This is a Playback Media production. Get all the associated links for this podcast at unitedredcast.com.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.